Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I have my own business, so I wear lots of hats. Now I'm wearing my office manager hat because I need supplies.
Well, Staples has everything you need, like paper, ink and toner, the latest tech.
Now I'm putting on my CFO hat because I can't overspend.
And you won't. Right now, save up to 50% on a new office chair.
All my hats and I would like to thank you.
They are welcome.
Staples, everything you need for business at great prices. And now save up to 50% on a new office chair during our winter chair event. Ends 3/11/17. Visit staples.com/furnituredeals.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a traveling lounge singer.
And we're going up the airport escalator. Hey, where are you from? Ha ha, no response. Classic. Got in an accident, so you gotta take a cab, huh? No cabs at Progressive Service Centers. They got rental cars on site, which is out of sight, you know?
Progressive takes the hassle out of claims. Just drop your car off at one of our service centers, and we'll manage the rest.
Here's a little number I like to call. Waiting for the shuttle bus.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Service centers not available in all areas. You have a choice of repair facilities.
This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. Heard around the world on Equestrian Legacy Radio, online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life long past, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long past, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel and patriotic music and songs that just plain lift your heart, most all of them with a definite Western flair. We'll get to know today's guest together, but one thing I already know, he has a wonderful voice. The feel is a little more country than Western, but his heart is definitely in the West. So let's kick off this show with a song from his gospel CD, How Great Is Our God.
God. And day lying in the land.
Could have done a lot of things with his life, but thank goodness he chose music, or did it choose him? Although he has degrees in ag economics and animal science, music is his passion and has dominated his life. From winning several major talent competitions to appearing with legends in country and Western music, he is on an exciting musical journey, and we are so delighted to welcome to the show today, Rusty Ryerson. Welcome, Rusty.
Hey, thank you. Awesome to be here.
Oh, this is fun. I'm so excited to get to know you better. I've had so much fun listening to your music and your amazing voice, and this is just going to be fun. This is just going to be just flat fun.
Well, you know, I get a lot of opportunity to do some things in country music, but it's always special. You know, when people take interest in gospel, because that's where it started for me.
Yes. And so let's get back, just kind of get to where it started. So please tell us a little bit about where you were raised and what your childhood looked like and how the Lord played into all of that as you were growing up.
Well, I was raised on a ranch just on the edge of the Flint Hills, Kansas, just west of, or just east of Wichita, a little ways there, Leon, Kansas. And I grew up on a ranch there, and Dad played an old Dove Gibson guitar, and I remember being 5 or 6 years old, and he'd get it out, play Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and some old country, you know. And he couldn't play very many songs, but we enjoyed what he did, I guess. And so music kind of started early for me there. Mm-hmm. I was raised in church and, you know, came to know the Lord at a really young age. Finally, my dad was pretty busy, it seemed like, when we were younger, me and my sister, and didn't go to church with us. But starting when we were about 10 or maybe 12, he started going with us. And then I really started getting involved in music and started singing with him in church a little bit. So that's kind of how it all came together for me. My father was definitely influential.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, I always like to ask my guests, because I find it so fascinating and inspiring, that there, for many people, there's a very definitive point in their lives when the Lord goes from being, you know, the God that's out there, you know, looking to the God that's really inside of them and very personal. And they have, you know, many times it's kind of an epiphany, and sometimes it's an evolution of things. So how did that happen for you?
Well, if you're talking about a sinner's prayer, I mean, you know, I prayed that probably when I was about 5 years old.
Right.
Not that I completely understood everything at that point. But, you know, I came to appreciate the understanding of it a little bit later, definitely in middle school and in high school. Mm-hmm. And then I hit a point in my 20s that was a pretty low point. And I think for me it was when I realized how despicable I really was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you actually get to that point where, I mean, we all know what sin is, but when you realize how bad it is, mm-hmm. and then that God would forgive you anyway, and I think mm-hmm. that's the moment that maybe, you know, was the epiphany, if you're looking for that word, for me. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I'd say, you know, it's been a lifelong journey for me.
Of course, for all of us, and it's not over yet. I mean, it's not over till we go home. It's just a constant learning, growing, getting better, hopefully, our whole lives. So, but that moment when you realize what we're actually capable of as human beings, and you know how low we can really stoop, and that the Lord loves us anyway. I mean, that's a pretty powerful moment, and I love how you described it. Thank you so much for sharing that.
So, yeah.
One thing that you mentioned that I thought was way cool that I'd like to talk a little bit about is that you said your dad invited you to take guitar lessons with him. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, my dad, you know, he's been a farmer rancher his whole life, and when we were mm-hmm. growing up, so he didn't have a whole long time, a lot of time to practice guitar. I think it's something that he always loved, and when he was young, he kind of had the opportunity to do some stuff with a band, and I don't think they ever did really travel much, but I think he really wanted me to learn to appreciate the instrument. And mm-hmm. and so he thought, you know what, if we'll take some lessons together. And he told me, he said, you'll surpass me, Rusty, in just a few months. and I really did. I guess I kind of fell in love with it. The first 3 months were really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say maybe 6 weeks of lessons, and then I was pretty much on my own. But yeah, he really did. He thought that if you know, he'd take him with me, it would encourage me to learn. Because, you know, it's tough when you first start, when you first, you know, try to put your fingers on those strings. There's nothing harder.
No.
And, I mean, there's some people that can do it, but I wasn't one of them. So, yeah, I needed that encouragement, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, for one thing, it just hurts. You know, when you start playing, you have to play through pain, and a lot of people aren't willing to do that, and everything is awkward, and nothing is easy, and until that little light switches on and everything starts like, oh, okay, I get it now. It is very daunting, and how wonderful of your dad to jump in there and come alongside you and walk through that process with you to encourage you. That was pretty fabulous. He sounds like a great guy.
Thank you. I guess if I could go back, I probably would have told him, look, Dad, don't let me play your Dove Gibson, because I probably about ruined that old guitar, you know, learning, scratching it up and stuff, learning how to play. But that's kind of special. When in the movie Pure Country, if you've ever seen it, with George Straits,
yeah.
there with Grandma Ivy, and he goes, I learned to play on this old Dove, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was me. So.
Wow, that's wonderful. So what about your mom? How was she, what was her part in? I mean, of course, moms are moms, but what are your memories of her growing up?
Oh, she was always there. Great mother. worked really hard. And of course, she always was helping Dad on the ranch, doing something, working cattle, working ground. As far as music, I remember them singing. They'd sing harmony together now and then. Not a lot, but now and then Dad would work something up in church, and she'd join him. She taught me how to sing harmony. And I remember being about 8 years old, driving to church and back, and Mom teaching me, you know, the harmony parts. And so those are kind of special memories.
Yes. Yeah. It's just, it's wonderful when our parents really can give the gift of music, because that's a lifelong gift, just a love of music and an appreciation. And it sounds like both your parents were really instrumental in that, as well as your spiritual upbringing. It's just, there's many people that don't have the wonderful privilege of going to church with their families as they're growing up. And so it's always so nice to hear when you were able to go to church as a family and walk that together.
Well, it really was. Our household was a safe haven for kids.
Oh, nice.
When I was growing up, I remember, you know, there'd be arguments and fights from mamas and daddies, and little kids would come over because it was safe at our house.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's where they wanted to be, you know. And so, yeah, it was really special place to grow up.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that in itself is an amazing thing. And what a wonderful thing for your folks to offer to other children. And that's had to colored your upbringing in your life, I would think, growing up in an environment like that, and also not just for your own family, but their willingness to reach out and extend that to other kids.
Well, Mom and Dad set the bar pretty high.
For Mom and Dad. So did that lead to this next song that we're going to hear, When Mama Prayed? Can you tell us about that?
That is a Randy Travis song.
He
cut that on, I think, on his Rise and Shine album. But it's a wonderful message, because I think we all have mothers that have prayed for us, you know. Whether the kids know it or not, that's something that mamas always do, is they pray for their kids, mm-hmm. you know. And I know that that my mama did, and so that's one of the reasons why it meant so much to me. And then just the words. The song really is about the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It is.
And it's a good one.
It is a good one. So let's listen to When Mama Prayed.
Daddy never went to church on Sunday. He said, that's one thing I'll never do. But Mama never gave up. She said, one day he'll be sitting here beside me and you. I can still hear my mom softly talking, her tears falling on her folded hands. So that Easter Sunday when Daddy walked in, well, that's when I began to understand that when Mama prayed, good things happen. When Mama prayed, much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all the way when Mama prayed. 17 and wild, I hit the bottle, doing anything I dang well pleased. Burning down left highway at 4.
I came home half sober, and I saw Mama kneeling in the den. As I listened, she and Jesus talked it over, and I knew my restless days were about to end.
I love that show.
Oh, I can see why. It's really, really good. Oh, gosh. So, okay, you're growing up on this ranch and farming. And so what, when you're a little kid, you're thinking what you want to be when you grow up. What was in your head?
I had a lot of different ideas. I think little kids often do. I was going to be a farmer or a minister or an author. I thought it'd be fun to be an author, which turned into that songwriter. I went ahead and went to college because I didn't know what to do, and then I got my bachelor's and I didn't want to get a job, so I just went on to grad school. But that wasn't all bad. It was a struggle for me because, you know, Ernie Rodina.
Yeah.
And right at the moment when I started grad school, Ernie found me and pretty much single-handedly launched my career.
Wow.
And suddenly we were on the road. And so because of that, it made grad school really hard for me.
But
made it through. And sometimes I think back and go, well, you know, turned out an awful good job offer when I left K-State. But, I guess I'm getting to do what I love to do. And, you know, when you have a big boy job and you're working 5 or 6 days a week, that'd be impossible to chase a dream, you know.
It would be. But the cool thing is, I mean, you got your degree in ag economics and then went on and got your master's in animal science, which is very cool. Sounds like while you're pursuing your music, you were doing your master's at the same time. But, I mean, how many musicians have degrees like that to fall back on? So I think you kind of did it the right way, Rusty.
Well, thank you. I really did wonder while I was, you know, on the road, and I'd get home at 3 a.m. sometimes, and then I'd have to go out to the farm and feed all the critters, and then I get to bed at 3 or 4 in the morning, and then I'd have to get up at 6:30 or 7 to get back out there because the boss would be screaming at me if something was wrong when he got out there at 7 in the morning. Those were awful days, but so we made it.
Oh, gosh. So how did you meet Ernie Rodina? I love him. He is the neatest guy, and I've done work with Ernie, and I love his family. But one of his best friends described Ernie to me as a hummingbird on speed.
He is exactly that. And I don't know if when you were working with him some, if he can definitely be a goober. you know.
Yeah.
But we sing a few songs together. We do some Neil Diamond and some Temptations, and he's wanting to get a couple of afros and a blue jumpsuit or two, and then we'd come out and do some of those old blues band songs too. And so we've been teasing about going out on the road together, and you've heard of the old rock band AC/DC.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be ADHD. So
I can see that. Oh my gosh. Oh my.
The hernia.
Dang.
I'm getting off topic, I guess, from what you asked.
That's
But
no,
Ernie,
no, it's fine.
Ernie had found me, he says, in the Ottawa post office. A friend had sent him a CD, and this was back when I thought I was pretty cool, and cool enough that I didn't want to put my contact information on the CD.
Oh my goodness!
And I've learned, since then a lot. But anyway, so he opened up the package and he threw it in the trash at the post office, and then put the CD in his truck on the way home and loved it, but there wasn't any contact. So he had to go back and digging through the trash trying to find out who sent it to him so he could call me. So he always tells that story.
That's a good story. Okay, so I have to ask you, when I was working with Ernie, we stopped to see his buddy at a grocery store. I mean, seriously, like a Save Mart kind of or regular old Safeway grocery store. And so we're talking to this manager of this grocery store, and he wanted to introduce myself and my singing partner to him. And so he literally says, can you guys just sing him a song? And we're like, now? Here? Yeah. So he goes, we had to go get our guitar and come and stand in the grocery store and sing for this guy.
Oh,
and it was
that to me so many times, yeah.
Like his MO. He does that to everybody. We sing in barns to people, in stores to grocery stores. I mean, the most unlikely places.
The worst one for me was when I had to play for the cooks at Waffle House the first year we were together. So
he loves Smothered and Covered. He loves Waffle House.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. I miss Ernie. He's a good guy. I love the Ernie stories. So tell us about the leap from, following Ernie around singing in Waffle Houses and grocery stores to you played with some pretty incredible people and got a record deal and have some, major talent competitions that you've won. Tell us about that.
Well, Ernie took me to a lot of these events like your barrel races and rodeos, and I don't mean to offend anybody here, but I believe that the Western culture, what I mean by horse people, they have a lot of money and they have a lot of friends that go in those circles. And you have to have horses. I mean, it's just part of it. And so because of that, I mean, people would hire me to do certain things, and I kinda learned how to make connections and started networking and doing that. And so really Ernie helped me get my name out some. And then I got involved with Mid-America Ag Network. And they are out of Wichita, Kansas. And one of the biggest networks in Kansas, they're kind of farm related and stuff, but they have a lot of different types of programs. And so I kind of got to be their in-house music man. And so when they have a listener appreciation show, a lot of times they'd call me to come and open. And so that's how I got to work with a lot of like Joe Diffie and some of those guys. And then the same thing with a little country station up in Topeka. And last year they hosted a country gold tour. If you're familiar, I think most of the time Leroy Van Dyke headlines that thing.
Oh,
his band, the Engineers, play. And so I got to work with all the artists there that night. T.G. Shepherd and Helen Cornelius and Billy Dean and David Frizzell. And that was pretty special, getting to meet those guys. So, yeah, just kind of gradually kept moving forward with it and kept recording new records and trying to get them out there. And finally I got an invitation to go down to Nashville and meet this producer. And then it was Dolly Parton's first cousin.
Oh, wow.
And he had recorded some famous albums. I think some platinum albums. He'd done all right in some Dolly Records and different ones and some rock and roll stuff. And the Georgia Satellites' first big record. But anyway, he did one for me, and we had Don Williams' band in the studio, at least part of them. And I didn't end up getting a deal on it, but they wanted to get me a distribution deal, but I ended up just waiting, because sometimes when you move too fast, too quick, it costs more than, you know, if you've just been patient.
I've heard that.
And so, so anyway, I have worked with two or three different record labels in Nashville, but I'm very independent. I'm not signed, and we are looking. Last year, Black River Entertainment wanted one of my songs, but that's Craig Morgan and Ronnie Millsap's label, and Kelsey Ballerini. But they didn't want me. They just wanted this song. And so we're hopeful that maybe this time they'd be interested in me as an artist. So I'm still looking. I'm still looking for that deal. But the cool thing is currently I've got a lot of freedom to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be said to being an independent artist.
I do have a manager that's down in Nashville, and he's worked with everybody you can think of. He is a cousin to the Kentucky Headhunters, but he's managed Doug Stone and David Ball and Johnny Lee and Michael Martin Murphy and so many of them, you know.
Wow.
And he's been pretty good to me, and we've been working close this year on, you know, new projects and things. So yeah.
Wow. So what about the those competitions? I mean, for me, the first time I like really got up and sang in front of people was terrifying. Did you just kind of ease into that, or was it just natural, or were you scared like me?
Well, that's still a scary thing. I don't mind walking out in front of a theater and singing, you know, for 10,000 people. I mean, that's no problem. But when you have to step out there and do something a cappella,
mm-hmm.
If it's not the Star Spangled Banner, then yeah, I'm scared. I do not enjoy singing a cappella. So a lot of those contests, they make you do that, including like American Idol when I was on that show. I didn't make it very far. I made it to round three in San Francisco. That was fun. But the same thing, like when you do The Voice and, you know, you have to sing a cappella. That's tough. But I did end up winning the Colgate Country Showdown at the state level, and then placed like in the top 15 or something in the national contest. And that's a pretty big deal. It went to Texaco Country Showdown now. That's what they call it, I think. At least they were sponsoring it the last time I did it. But you win like $100,000 or a record deal or something if you win that deal. It's a pretty good one.
Oh, that is a good deal.
And then some other local talent shows too. But yeah, you're right. That's something that when you're judged up on stage, that's a tough thing.
Yeah, I've not. I think maybe early on, I've been in a couple of competitions in my career, and that was not. Those are not high points. That was like just makes you sick to your stomach. So it much. Although I do get a little. I still get nervous when I step on stage because I just want everything to go so well. You know, I want to be my best and do my best. And yeah, so it always. And I'm always. Once I start singing, I'm good. But I always. Just have to kind of gather my thoughts and get focused and get still before a show, or else I'm just like shaking, nervous. So.
I usually quote George Jones, and I say, "Hey, folks, if we make it through the first three songs, we're going to be all right."
So. I hear that. I do. Gosh, yeah. Well, we're going to go to another song now. So tell me about "You're My Best Friend."
Well, a pastor in our local cowboy church here in Augusta, Kansas. Rewrote the words to the old Don Williams song. Didn't change a lot of them, didn't need to change the second verse at all, but wrote a new verse where it's talking about Jesus. And so I think it's pretty fitting. I played it for Don Williams in his living room, and he liked it.
Yes, I've always liked the Don Williams song, so I loved this version. I thought it was so cool.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you're my best friend.
Yep, so let's listen to "You're My Best Friend."
they place thorns on your forehead. They drove nails through your hands and feet. From the grave, you rose as it was nothing, and opened up the door of eternal life for me. You're my bread when I'm hungry. You're my shelter from trouble.
It's just special anyway, but you know, the, it was almost a gospel song from the beginning. You know?
It was. I always kind of got that feel. I thought, man, it wouldn't be hard to turn this into a gospel song, and so I'm so glad someone did. That's, and you do a great job as always. I really love your voice, Rusty. It really is so nice.
Thank you. There's days where I can stand to listen to myself and, and then, like, Randy Travis said, you know, talking about your voice, sometimes it just goes, not today.
Yes, I get that. And I don't know.
Thank
that
you. I appreciate it.
The first time I heard my voice recorded and played back to me, I was just like, oh, turn it off, turn it off. I was just, I didn't like it at all. Oh, my gosh. So it's still astounding to me today that people actually pay money to get my, you know, voice on a recording. It's like, really?
Well, you're hard on yourself, yeah.
Aren't we artists usually are? That kind of comes to the territory, I think. But maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I remember Doug Stone. I've worked with Doug on several different concerts. He said that he was with Sony Records, you know, on the first album they put out. All those songs like In a Different Light and Why Didn't I Think of That and some of those, you know. And he said the first time he came back in the studio and they'd done everything and they were playing it, he goes, dang, is that me singing that? I'm a fan of me.
Yeah, they can do some pretty amazing stuff in the studios. This is true. Oh, my goodness. So, Rusty, what does your life look like now? Are you touring a lot?
I've got a band that plays with me. And this summer and this fall, we've been playing quite a bit. Tomorrow night, we are playing at an equine rescue and retirement ranch down in Sedan, Kansas. And they're celebrating 10 years that they've been freeing horses and taking care of them and stuff. And so, yeah, tomorrow night we'll play down there. And then next week playing up at K-State for a pretty good event up there. The college hired the band to come in, and that was good. And So I'm playing around doing quite a bit. I am working on a new record and also this new song, hopefully, with Charlie Daniels. And so lots of stuff going on right now, you know. Usually the winter slows down for me, but it's been a blessed fall already, and I love the opportunity to get out on the road and play, especially with the band, and we've got to do that a lot this year.
That is a blessing, because with the economy, people aren't always willing to pay what you need to get to get a band on the road. So that's a huge blessing, and I'm really glad for you. That's really cool. So I went to your website and looked around in that, and you're kind of cute. So are you married? Did you get?
No, no.
Never been
engaged, but you know, I just kind of waiting for the right one, I guess. And but yeah, that's something I'd like one day, you know, to have a family. So yeah. But the website, if you don't like the website, that's my fault, because, you know, they say cowboys and computers. So, but I do try to keep a pretty good job of keeping the show calendar up to date and some stuff on there. And I actually figured out how to get that little PayPal button working, where you can click on it and order a CD.
You're way ahead of me. I have to pay people to do website. I can't figure it out.
That took me a long time. But the website is pretty good. It's got a lot of stuff on it. RustyRyerson.com.
We'll be sure and repeat that again at the end of the show so everybody knows where to find you. So ladies listening out there, he is single. That's so sweet. But, you know, definitely as a Christian, we want to wait for the right one, you know, because it's a lifelong covenant. And so you don't want to enter into that lightly. You don't want to just jump into it. And there's so much more.
So, I was going to tell you a story. This changes topic a little bit, but we had this story on my radio show this week about this dietitian that was addressing a large crowd in Chicago. And he says, you know, for most of us out there, he said, but the way we eat, we should have died 15 years ago. And he said, I mean, you know, there's so many things that are bad for us. And the red meat and soda erodes our stomach lining, you know. The MSG and the Chinese food and vegetables can be a nightmare. He said, but there's one thing that always causes problems for years to come. And all of us at some point will eat it. Can anybody tell me what that one food is that causes all the grief and suffering? This old man stood up the front row and he said, wedding cake. And so that kind of tells you what it can be like if you don't have the right one, you know.
Oh, I like that. It can't, you know, it is when it's good, it's amazing, but when it's bad, there's really nothing worse. I mean, it can be so miserable. So I'm happy to hear that you're waiting for the right woman to come along, and I'm sure that the Lord has that in your future with beautiful children and all of that. And you mentioned your radio show. Let's talk a little bit more about that. That's way fun.
Rusty Radio. Yeah, we're kind of like the hee-haw, I guess, of the radio shows. And we're on five little stations in Kansas and Oklahoma, and I play I can play whatever I want to, feature whoever. So I do a lot of the old classic country and kind of honor the greats, you know. And now and then I'll play the new stuff, too, from Nashville. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll play a gospel song, and not always, because it is a country show. But, I'm free to talk about, spirituality and all that. And sometimes I've had cowboy ministers on to promote their events and websites and things. And also, I'll do mock interviews with a lot of celebrities. And I haven't gotten in trouble yet. I'm sure it's only a matter of time. But, Matthew McConaughey, Donald Trump's been on a lot now lately. And this is all
so
fake.
A mock interview. So tell me how that goes. Let's do a little
bit
of a
mock
interview.
Well, I've got friends that do the voices, so I can't do the voices for you.
Oh,
but we've had on John Wayne and Walter Brennan, and when you pick up the phone and you hear him speak, I mean, it really is John Wayne. I mean, you swear it is. These guys do a good job.
Wow.
I've got another friend down in Crossville, Tennessee, that they can do almost any voice, any politician or movie star. We've had Arnold Schwarzenegger on the show. You can tell from content that it's not real, but it does sound like them. And that's a lot of fun. I had Obama on, and I put his foot in his mouth so many times. It's just only a matter of time before I get in trouble with it. But I have a lot of fun with the show, and it's been a good way for me to promote myself and my music, and I can give back a little bit too.
That's nice. So is that online, or is it just you have to be in the area?
You can stream the individual radio stations. It's five terrestrial radio stations, and I think probably all five of them. You can get online and just listen, but it's not a podcast, so you will have to catch it live.
And all of this, I'm sure, is on your website. The links for all of this is on your website, I'm sure. Great.
I don't know that the links are there, but the stations that I'm on, it's front and center, right in the middle. Rusty Radio Stations.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun, Rusty. So is there any possibility of you actually going to that old format way back when, where they had country and Western music on the same format?
Well, I'm allowed to play, Gene Autry and Hank Thompson, Roy Rogers, and I will occasionally throw one of those 50s songs in there. I'm not allowed to do that real often. I will play some Western stuff. You know, we had Kristen Harris interview here maybe about a month ago. I do play some Western. I got the freedom to do that. What I try to do is keep the bro country out. And I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but that's what I mean when you have Tim McGraw and doing a duet with Snoop Dogg, you know?
That
kind of stuff. And so, yeah, we try to keep that off the radio.
Yeah. So. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm always trying to cast a bigger net for Western music. And I know that as I travel the country and talk with people, they don't realize that country and Western are two separate genres. They don't really understand that. Because they were always on the same format for decades. They were on the same radio stations together. And it's really amazing how many people that when they hear Western, they're like, oh, yeah, I love that. You know, I forgot about that, or I didn't realize that was different and on a separate thing. And so I would the powers that be that have say over what you play, I hope they will allow you to expand into what, because there's some amazing Western music that's being written today. There's some incredible artists out there with wonderful, very, very professionally produced product and great songs. And I think it would be a really fun thing to spice up your show. So I'm hoping we can help you do that.
You bet. Yeah. If you've got young artists or or just artists that you know you think would be a good contact, send them to me. And you know what? We'll hook up and try to do some promotion. And we need to get Linda Gale on the show sometimes too.
Okay. So. In a moment, you know that I would love to do that. Well, we're going to go to one of your songs that's really awesome, called Souvenirs. And I know I don't have a copy of it, but Gary read me a quote that R.W. Hampton was just completely blown away by the song and felt like it was destined to become a classic. As your voice is, you're destined to become, you know, a classic and, you know, a household name. And so can you set up Souvenirs for us?
Well, this song was written by Tom Gaffney, a guy down in Nashville. And I heard it, loved it, cried my eyes out the first time I heard it. And so I got to listening to it and decided I wanted to write a third verse that kind of brings a little bit of closure to the song. And so I sat down with Tom in Nashville in the studio right before we were getting ready to cut it. And I said, you know, and we worked out a third verse. I'm just going to let people listen to it. But yeah, so I had a hand in writing it too. We did chart it in the U.S. in 13 on the Music Row chart. And that
great.
Was pretty quick. It was up and down, but we did make the published chart. But it went number one in Europe and debuted at number one. And it stayed there for 4 weeks on the Hot Disc chart. And Toby Keith was number two for a month straight. And so that felt really good. Yeah.
You know what? That's what I love about the European radio market. It is so completely different from the U.S. anymore. Because the U.S. is very controlled by these big conglomerate stations. I mean, used to be when you would travel across the country as you got to different areas, you would hear complete different songs and some indie artists that were thrown in there, and every little region had its own feel. But now you could go from one end of this country to the other and hear not only the same songs, but in the same rotation, which is so sad, I think. But it's still wide open in Europe. They play whatever they like, and it's so weird.
Well, yeah, they really do, and they play songs based on merit, and you know, and if they like them or not, and then they give you feedback, and they'll let you know what they thought of the song, and if they didn't like it, why, and that's really helpful, you know.
It is helpful.
And I've got a chance to go over and tour over there a little bit in Scotland and the UK, and those fans are. They're amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I am eager for everyone to hear Souvenirs.
Who'd have thought a year ago, no way we could ever know we'd be sitting here going through Daddy's thing. Upstairs he kept a trunk, always said it was full of junk. He'd say never mind when I'd ask what's in there. Thoughts run wild as I turn the key, hands shaking, heart skipped a beat as I wonder what's inside. There's a purple heart from the war, old brown pictures mama swore she'd thrown away. Letters mama wrote, blue ribbons from a show, a county fair back in 82. The only tie he ever wore, a newspaper from the corner store, circled in red the day I was born. Swallowed hard, it was getting tough going through all his stuff. But I just can't believe my eyes. There's that crayon Christmas card. I remember that I worked so hard to make it right. Yeah, I think I was fine. My baseball trophy, a Cub Scout patch, plastic guns, and my cowboy hat. I used
his trunk, an envelope that just said, son, well, now that I'm gone, I know that you'll be strong. Take care of your mom for me. Start making your own memories. Trust God himself. True riches are not in wealth. I'm seeing his life clearly through my tears. All his souvenirs.
That is a great song. Oh my, I can see what RW said. Absolutely. Oh, I cannot believe this hour has gone by so fast, Rusty. This has been so much fun getting to know you better.
Yeah, it's been great. I really appreciate you, you know, getting the opportunity to share my music like this.
Oh, absolutely. I hope we've busted it open to a whole new audience for you. And definitely everything that I've heard of yours is just so good and so fun. And just, and of course, I love your voice. So, yeah, if anybody wants to get a hold of Rusty and buy his music and hire him and his band for their cool events, please give us your website again.
RustyRyerson.com. My last name is RIERSON. RustyRyerson.com. If you forget that, you can just type in Rusty R, country singer or something, and you'll probably find me on Google. Google likes me pretty good, so.
Well great for Google. Google has good taste sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and just wish you all the best. And we'll have to have you on again sometime, and it'll be very fun. And I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting you one day face to face. That would be fun. And gosh, in the meantime, just again, best of luck with your career, and just wishing you all God's richest blessings, Rusty.
Well, Belinda, thank you very much. And yeah, next time you're in Kansas in the Flint Hills, when we swing, come out to the ranch, we'll take the four-wheelers out, and we'll chase some cattle around or something.
That would be very
be
fun.
Good.
I love the Flint Hills. I've ridden the Flint Hills on horseback, and it's an incredible area. So I definitely love that part of the world. So we're going to take this out, your part here, with the song He Reigns. Can you tell us about that?
This is a Newsboy song, it's pretty countrified from the original version, but it's just one that's really fun and easy to sing, almost like a kid's song kind of, but, you know, with the chorus. But I think it's one that everybody can get into, whether they, you know, really like gospel music or not. It's one that you can sing along to. And the guy that helped me put the funding together for the gospel project, this is one of his favorite songs, called He Reigns.
Well, it's very worshipful, and I love songs that are worshipful. So let's listen to He Reigns.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The sound of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a lost song bowl of a group. Faithful gathered underground.
goodness, I love that. It was so much fun having Rusty on the show today and getting to know him better. What a delightful young man. And it's going to be fun to watch his career blossom and bloom as well. And as I was preparing for today's show, I felt led to read for myself and also to share with Rusty and all of you scripture about putting the Lord first in our lives. There are a bunch of them, but I have chosen just a few. And one of my favorites and one that really stood out to me is, I love this one in Matthew, and it's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Now, for me, this says, before we do anything, to seek the Lord, to put him and his righteousness first, and then just watch what he adds to our lives. And then in 2 Timothy 2:15, we are told to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So not only are we to seek the Lord, we have a responsibility to do our best, to not do things that we would be ashamed of. Now, goodness knows we are not perfect, and we are going to mess up now and again. But did you notice it didn't say that we must be perfect with nothing to be ashamed of? It said we must do our best to be the best person we can be. Again, we're going to mess up, and the Lord knows that. He just asks us to always give our best effort. And a really cool thing, he doesn't expect us to do this alone. In Philippians 4:13 is one of my very favorite scripture, and one I repeat to myself on almost a daily basis. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So he doesn't just leave us out there hanging to figure it out on our own. With the Lord strengthening us, we can do all things. And so how do we draw all of this into our lives? The basic foundation is laid out very simply and powerfully in Matthew 22:37, where we are told, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. Proverbs 16:3, we are told, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Now, putting the Lord first in our lives is really a very simple formula. Love the Lord with everything we have within us. Always give our best effort and trust him to lead and guide and strengthen us. Now, I know it's really not, life is not that simple. It is complicated, and sometimes it feels like a raging river. But God's plan for our life is like an amazing raft gliding over that gushing, turbulent river. Yes, it can be frightening. Yes, it can be challenging. But when we put our lives in God's capable hands, when we climb into that raft and commit ourselves to stay there, life will be spectacular. Well, that's our show for today. I am so delighted y'all could join us. Thank you for giving us the gift of your time. And thank you again to our very special guest, Rusty Ryerson, for sharing so much of himself with us today. And, of course, a huge thank you to my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scenes to make this show happen. And please remember, all of the fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio are archived for you to listen to at your convenience. You can even download our nifty mobile app and take us on the go with you. So if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, all your trails be blessed.
Life's rugged road, stumbling neath a heavy load, I was headed for a fate of ill design. Many folks for me prayed, many pleas for me were made. I should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, all those bitter things are mine. I should have read that detour sign. When I got stuck in the mud, all my hopes fell with a thud. but the blame for being stuck there was all mine. For I'd hear time and again, Christ could lift my soul from sin. I should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, all those bitter things are mine. I should have read that detour sign. By and by, when hope was gone and I could no more go on, I did to the Lord my life and soul resign. Now to others I say, who must pass along this way, better read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, pay some mind to what I said. Detour, all those bitter things you'll find, you'd better read that detour sign. You'd better read that detour sign.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Townhut! Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company Affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.
Are you ready to lose those love handles? Do you work hard to stay in shape and eat healthy, yet you can't get rid of stubborn fat? Now there's a clinically proven way to help you look slimmer without surgery or downtime. It's called Sculpture. Sculpture's innovative procedure destroys fat in just 25 minutes with visible results as quickly as 6 weeks. Sculpture sounds amazing, right? Check it out for yourself by clicking on the banner or go to goodbyefat.com. Are you ready to lose those love handles? Do you work hard to stay in shape and eat healthy, yet you can't get rid of stubborn fat? Now there's a clinically proven way to help you look slimmer without surgery or downtime. It's called Sculpture. Sculpture's innovative procedure destroys fat in just 25 minutes with visible results as quickly as 6 weeks. Sculpture sounds amazing, right? Check it out for yourself by clicking on the banner or go to goodbyefat.com.